Unworthy Worthiness by David Warren. For all the saints I can call to mind, and I should think for all saints a job in politics would seem highly unsuitable. Looking at it only from the point of view of an exemplary Saint X, as it were, his politicizing would be counterproductive to the point of wrong. What would he have to do to achieve holiness? While making some kind of mark in this debilitating trade, in what way could he contribute to anyone's salvation? To save someone in a political sense is to contribute to his survival or to the recovery of his fortune. These are worldly things. The citizen may be in need of food or medicine, but when these things are obtained by political methods, we get the usual effects of socialism. More often, he is simply in need of money, and by supplying him with the fruit of public taxation, while not requiring that he do anything to earn it, we get the usual effects of inflation. These are not mere inconveniences. St. Paul was very clear. No work, no eat. But he was not a politician. He would never get himself elected with a promise like that. Of course, there are charitable, graceful acts. Religious, specifically Christian, tradition encourages these. Not everything must be done for money. Medical doctors, whether on the state's payroll or not, are sometimes credited with sanctity by the patients whose lives they have saved, and I would not want to condemn them, even while playing the curmudgeon. But mere survival, or the restoration of someone's good health, or wealth, is not the same thing as sanctity. Neither, on the way to these good ends, is getting one sweet way in politics, whatever the operation that accomplished it, usually false rhetoric. For some reason, persons from Mahatma Gandhi to Martin Luther King Jr. are compulsively cited when examples are sought for sanctity in politics. More anciently, there was George Washington's candor when he hacked into his father's cherry tree, and there are several other legendary indications of honesty and good behavior. But to perform most conspicuously saintly acts, stopping abortions, for instance, is more controversial and not done in democratic politics except for empty promises. For electorates do not tend to be saintly, nor can an ungoverned mob perform a saintly act. Conversely, St. John Paul II may be considered as a politician, and a specifically saintly one, crossing over from his day job as Pope to many sterling accomplishments in the world. But Vaudois was not a saint in the merely colloquial sense, much less than from his station in the hierarchy. He was behaving well, even before being elevated to the papacy. And had he remained stuck in Poland, he would also be a saint. Or might have been recognized as such, depending who was His Holiness in Rome. It is unfortunate that the modern habit of canonizing every pope who dies has blurred the distinction between saintliness and political efficiency. Our Catholic ancestors knew better than to do this. There were arguably several other magnificent crossovers in the fair history of the Church, but Church politics has not been, generally, the means to engender saints or a source of the best inspiration. It's likely that saintly acts behind the scenes were involved in preventing, or at least distracting, certain gentlemen from becoming pope. There are no footnotes on actions like these, secretly manifested. But for the moment, let us consider the negatives that may be holy. Thus we might gain insight into why our Lord allows evil to continue, including what evil politicians do. Four positive forces require negative forces. They're what makes it possible for victory to be declared. Worldly ambition is invariably excluded from the career of the potential saint, as Christians realize, for a reason. This is because the saint is working towards a divine victory, which cannot be foreseen, except by divination. We see only the battles, dimly. God sees the war. In secular, or rather profane, politics, the successful statesman must slither to the top of the greasy pole, in whatever the constituency it protrudes from. It is a circus performance that is generally concealed from the attention of his admirers, or suppressed in the always fake media. God, however, has a role in making saints, and while perhaps not literally, he may arrange some levitations. It is not necessary for every success to slither, nor inevitable that every slitherer will succeed. Magic tricks have nothing to do with saintcraft. This is a point many may dispute, but miracles are easy to distinguish from magic tricks, even in public affairs. They are ostentatiously not self-serving. Modesty is more suitable to the non-miracle worker. He does not doubt God, that is not required of him, but he doubts the policies he is prescribing. If he is Christian, he must be aware that most political programs, at least 9 out of 10 and possibly all 10, will have unintended consequences, and even the intended ones should be avoided. That is why the best politics consists simply of negating whatever the other side has done, retiring regulations, and withdrawing taxes. There is no economic argument for government interference, even against corruption, only the moral argument of preventing evil. It is why, while Donald Trump is no saint, I was more or less delighted by the hundreds of executive orders by which he canceled everything Joe Biden had done. Alas, I fear he may try to do things himself. The profundity of Christ's "give unto Caesar" is not that what Caesar wants is generally pretty bad, or that given is like Caesar will oppress us. It is that apart from Caesar's duty to keep order in the world, he has no standing instruction apart from what was given to every man. He has no special mission to stand in God's way, which, curiously, means he can be a saint the way every man can be.